Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Dusty White, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're talking about how to feel.
Wow, that's good. Okay, so how to feel, Dusty. Why this topic?
Well, often we're encountering friends and people in the church as pastors who either have a limited range of emotion, like they have one or two, and those are pretty evident in their relationships, and then also in their relationship with God. And then sometimes we're encountering people who have like zero ability to tap into their emotional life or what they're feeling. Like you could ask somebody like, hey, what are you feeling? They might not know for a long time. So it is important, I think, to just dial up the conversation on, hey, the Lord has given us this framework as image bearers of God. He has created us with a wide range of emotions. And it's important to dial those in appropriately, to grow into them. And we probably need some help doing it. I've needed help doing it. I suspect you guys have needed some help along the way. So
you probably, I mean, your role in our church, you sit and listen to a lot of people, talk with a lot of people, serve a lot of people. And I imagine this is a topic of conversation pretty regularly, either people feeling negative emotions that they're not sure what to do with, or people lacking the kind of emotional register that God designed them to have.
Yes. There's often times where you're with somebody and they're telling you their story, or they're telling you a piece of their story, their history, basically. And they're not feeling anything. They're just giving you data and facts. And you're like you might start to cry about that. Mm-hmm. And we have, like, as pastors, you're like, dang, that really stings, you know, mm-hmm. But they're not showing any emotion at all. Mm. They're just giving you some data. Like we're reading the paper.
Yeah.
And I just have this burden pastorally to help people dial in. And the reason why, like, why would you want to dial it in? So that you can have a deeper and more honest relationship with the Lord. Mm. So that is why. So like, not just so that, oh, like I could feel more. That's not why. The why is the more I can connect emotion to my actual experiences here on earth, the more the Lord can help me make sense of that. And I'm also going to be able to feel deeply with him and encounter his glory.
What do you think people most get wrong about emotions?
Why'd you use the phrase get wrong?
Well, what do they misunderstand about emotions?
Oh yeah. You guys just teed up a good debate right there, because my emotions are never wrong, Chris.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm approaching it more from like a understanding of what do people most misunderstand about their emotions? Or what have you experienced as misunderstandings of emotions?
I think the first thing that comes to mind, Chris, is it's very easy for me to feel angry about something, but not very easy for me to be sad about something. So I think one of the things we get wrong is anger is a good emotion, but it also limits me and it blocks sadness. So like even just this morning, I'm like frustrated about a couple of things right now, you guys. And I had to like sit with the Lord and journal my way through to allow myself to hit a place of grief, because it's just so much easier for me to be frustrated. Mm-hmm. So I have to like allow that, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think that's where we go wrong, is at least guys go wrong there often.
So settling for a narrow emotional bandwidth and thinking that's okay or acceptable.
Yeah. Like, oh, here's my... I got these two things that I go to, like I get mad or I get sad, you know? Okay. Well, also the Lord gave you joy and gladness. You know, there's a lot of Psalms about that. So
what do you think about emotion under the Lordship of Christ? I think for me, there's this reality of like, I'm generally dealing with one of two things, either people who have really strong emotions that feel to me like they're not commensurate with the situation. Could be anger, could be sadness, could be guilt, but there's a really heightened level of emotion that feels like, yeah, you need to actually sort of like settle out of that and be able to, you know, let that take you somewhere with the Lord. or people who feel very robotic and almost, like you said, Dusty, shut down or apathetic, or maybe it's just like not alive to the fullness of emotion. Those feel like very challenging. They're just very different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what do we want to, what's the right way to think about this category of life under the Lordship of Christ? The reason I ask it that way is because I think modern therapy world loves talking about emotions. It almost feels to me like we're, you know, there a chapter that we read in preparation for this podcast, you know, the author said basically like, you know, we live in a world that thinks too much about being right theologically and doesn't care enough about emotion. And I was like, nope, not the world I live in. I live in a world that just tells people whatever you feel is the most important thing. And so I'm a little nervous that like in a very therapeutic world, we almost put too much emphasis on emotion. So I'm asking like, what's the right way to think about this category of life under the Lordship of Christ?
Well, I just think simply put, the answer that comes to mind is like, we don't see our emotion under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We see it as like something totally separate, like that we have to like bring to him, like he doesn't have control over already and that he's not king over. So I better maybe not feel these things, or I better sort it out and then bring it to him later. clean it up
yeah,
to get it to the king.
Or what's interesting to me is how quickly we run to secular sources to help us make sense of emotions. To your point, Bob, we not to say that there isn't common grace wisdom there that's helpful, but we're so quick to step outside the Bible as if the Bible doesn't have a lot to tell us and show us. Have you guys read the article, B.B. Warfield's article, The Emotional Life of Our Lord? I highly recommend that article. It's you know, B.B. Warfield, old Princetonian. So it's a little academic in some ways, but essentially what he does is he walks through the Gospels and highlights every emotion that Jesus showed and experienced, and just shows how Jesus felt those things, how he expressed those things, how it led him to act. And you get this picture of an emotionally healthy person. And to me, that says tons about, the scripture has so much to say about emotions. It gives us a model of emotional health. Yeah, we have the Psalms. We have other places in scripture where people express very strong emotion, but we also have the model of Jesus. So to, you know, kind of answer your question, it's like, what does it look like to be Christ-like in our emotions? Because we saw Jesus model that for us, and what can we learn from his emotional life and the range of emotion that he expressed, the appropriateness of expression that he showed. There's a lot there that I think will help us bring our emotions under the Lordship of Christ if we will pay attention and we'll go to scripture first. I think kind of going back to my question, what do people get wrong about emotion? The reason I asked that question is I know for myself and pastoring other people that there's different ways to kind of look at that question. There are sort of just our inability to feel maybe our own emotional unhealth and how that kind of blocks and gets in the way. But there's also these ideas about what emotion is, the purpose it serves, how I should be feeling, you know, those kinds of things that can also get in the way. So I'm always seeking, when I'm pastoring and counseling someone and these things come up, I'm always trying to understand what's the block, what's keeping people from emotional maturity. Is it some faulty beliefs? Is it story? Is it, you know, unrepentant sin? Is there shame, guilt, you know, whatever those blocks are. But again, to your point, Bob, like how do you bring this under the Lordship of Christ is being honest about why it isn't and what's causing it, and seeking to face that down. So it, in some ways it's easier to address bad ideas versus, hey, you actually have some problems feeling emotion or expressing emotion in a godly way. Why is that? Let's get inside that. Let's talk about that. What in your story is causing that? Where is there, you know, sin issues that are causing that? And actually putting these things into practice, which is far easier said than done. So those are, I think, also kind of pastoral questions that I want to ask and wrestle with and seek to understand if I'm trying to help someone.
Let me give you an example of an emotion in my life recently that I've been thinking about. So I'm 44 years old and I've recently switched my retirement funds from one handler to another handler. And I look at that statement every now and then and I go like, man, I don't think I'm retiring. And so what that does is it brings up all this fear in me, internal fear, angst, worry. And what that emotion can do for me is drive me to the security that I can have in Christ, or it can cause me to fret. So I can just keep fretting, to answer your question, Bob, or I can actually see it as like, hey, hold on, hold on. This money is a tool. The Lord is always taking care of me. The Lord will always take care of me, no matter how old I am. And so that, like, I can do something in that moment with that emotion. Under the Lordship of Christ, I can find security in Christ now, or I can continue to freak out internally. And then that's going to, if I start freaking out, that's going to have ramifications on my relationships. It's going to pull me away from trusting God. So this is why it's okay to tap into these things. But again, you got to be doing this with other people usually.
How can we help people? How can I help myself, Dusty, attend to those emotions? You're saying how I was feeling something. And the first thing you're acknowledging is like, I knew what I was feeling. I was aware that I was worried or, you know, fretful. Feels like sometimes this first step is just helping people become aware of what those feelings are.
Totally awareness. And then I would say, I would, as much as I would just, you know, riddle that all off really quick, that has taken years for me to figure that out. So like the awareness of that emotion, okay, well, actually this is fear. Like I'm actually just deeply afraid of not having enough. So just call that what it is. Like, you don't think you're going to make it. Hmm. Okay. Well, to say that to yourself and to others out loud is like, dang, that's rough. You know? Okay. Well, what does that do for me? Well, I can either just keep fretting, or I can go to your question. I can go like, all right, listen, God's sovereign. This is his will. My life is his life. I'm just stewarding his money anyway. So like, yeah, it's awareness, but it's usually letting somebody guide me into that. So I got to invite somebody into that. Like, hey, Bob, here's kind of what I'm freaking out about right now. Hmm. I'm looking at my portfolio. It's not looking like it has enough zeros after it. And then I got to bring people in, you know?
Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, the trick is, trick's the right word, the challenge, the move, what we're hoping to see happen is to see our emotions align with truth. Right? Like what you just described, you had this fear, this worry, and you had to acknowledge it and work through it. But there was also the sense that I want to bring this in alignment with the reality that God is sovereign. God has me. Like, and from my experience personally and pastoring, oftentimes what people do is, hey, I'm feeling this fear about XYZ. Well, be anxious for nothing. And so what you need to do now is stop feeling what you're feeling and just get over it and bring it into alignment with truth. And there is a sense in which, yes, you want that feeling to change. You want that to come in underneath the Lordship of Christ. But so often what their approach can be is shut the emotion down rather than work through it in an honest, helpful way, healthy way. That through that process is actually how we're going to bring it under the Lordship of Christ. Rather than stuffing, rather than denying, rather than shutting the emotion off.
Talk to me about the how of what you just said. Work through the emotion in a healthy way. I think everybody listening to this podcast would nod and say, yes, Chris, I want to do that. What, how? What does that look like?
Good question. If I knew this, I would be a popular podcaster. No, here's my best stab at that. In some ways, there has to be an honesty, an acknowledgement. If you can't understand what it is on your own, having someone help you, what is it that you're feeling? And then an acknowledgement, is this feeling appropriate? To what degree is it appropriate? To what degree is not appropriate? And, you know, to your point, am I under feeling? Am I over feeling? Like, there just has to be an honesty. You have to be honest about it. And then working through that with, you know, whether it's just vocalizing to other people, pastor, counselor, friend, whatever, this is what I'm feeling. This is why I'm feeling. This is the truth. And it's a processing. I mean, how do you process through anything? There's conversation. There's this saturating your mind in truth in order to shape that. There is repentance when there needs to be repent. I mean, I don't trust the Lord. There's unbelief in my heart. So I have to repent of things. And it's that I would say that it's almost like exercising. Like there's a hope that over time that processing is going to lead you to a place that's more mature. And I don't think it's necessarily linear all the time. Sometimes you're going to make some steps and sometimes you're going to fall back into it and you have to repent and, you know, work through that. So I don't know, as you would work through anything, I think it's time and conversation and meditation on truth, and it's community, people helping you with that. So, you know, kind of just the graces of the, you know, the sort of the ordinary means of grace that we have. Maybe another way to put it is like the way, you know, discipleship. What do we do when, you know, do we experience discipleship with, you know, both personal spiritual disciplines and in community? So I don't know if I have any magic answer beyond that.
So can I try to put some categories to things just to see if I'm hearing and sort of capturing what we're saying? You mentioned a minute ago, there's one approach to emotion that's sort of a very fundamentalist-y sort of classic approach, which is like, let's say I'm feeling X, apply a Bible verse to that. You know, like your example was, don't be anxious for nothing, right? I'm kind of feeling this. Okay, well, here's what the Bible says. So bring your emotions in line with truth. My experience is people who tend to take that view either feel guilt about their emotions or just don't process them very deeply. Mm-hmm. So they just sort of like, there's an assumption, like I know people who are very angry people, but they know that they shouldn't be angry.
Yeah.
And so they think that as long as I'm just applying a Bible verse when I feel angry and reminding myself that I shouldn't be angry, I'm dealing with my anger, but actually they're not becoming less angry.
Yeah.
So that's one side of the horse, is this sort of like very simplistic approach that says, I feel something, here's what the Bible says about it, I should just do that, feel that, or respond in that way. I feel like there's this other side that is, let me swim in my emotions, let me drown in my emotions, let me just always talk about my emotions, yeah. Let me talk with my therapist about my emotions, I need another therapist to talk about my, like just the emotions on, dial it up to 10 and let's just like live in the world of like, but here's what I'm feeling. And I see people get stuck there because they can't move beyond, okay, what are you analyzing the feeling? Are you able to interpret the feeling? Are you able to ask, what does this say to me? You know, it's just that there's not any work done on the feeling. It's just sort of like I live in this world of emotion. I feel like we're saying something different than both of those things, but yes. I'm trying to get you to be precise about what is the journey of being able to apprehend and actually deeply feel, but then to actually like do something with that moves me toward discipleship, transformation, and growth, rather than just apply a Bible verse or stay stuck there.
I might have an answer to your question. I think our emotions are indicators that either are going to move me to joy and therefore worship, or trust in the Lord, or repentance. So I hate to be, you know, like it's only these buckets, but I do think most emotions are going to move us in those directions. Now, here's what's interesting about what you're saying, like, especially about your example one. I know I'm an angry person, but I know I'm not supposed to be angry. So I just am like going to keep it bottled up. So that type of person was taught that at some point. And I just want to say, like, and this is one of the reasons why I think this is worth talking about. Can you give us the freedom to talk about where you learned that, why you learned it that way, and can we relearn it? Mm. Because if we can relearn it together in community and with scripture, then you can probably get unstuck and you could release some of that anger to the Lord, righteous or unrighteous. He can handle it. And then you can actually be free, which is going to move you towards more trust, more freedom, more worship down the road. So I think that's some of the how. So I think what's interesting is I come to the table with like, well, here's what I'm feeling. Okay, well, why? And where did you learn that? And how can we yeah. maybe like talk about that? Why is that a non-negotiable? So let's have that conversation. And then, so like deeper dive here. One of the things I'm realizing about my fear about money is my family always freaked out about money. Sometimes there was a lot, sometimes there was little. So I grew up with a system of like financial anxiety. Mm. I figured that out like 2 years ago. I'm 44. Like, come on. Like where I was like, oh, actually the people who were around me the most kind of shaped some of that anxiety. Okay, well, let's reframe that.
Yeah.
Let's work on that. So So I think we also can't throw out, you know, like what scripture, what Chris is saying and what the scriptures are saying in Philippians 4, right? Like, do not be anxious. Okay, well, apparently I cannot be. And so otherwise the Lord wouldn't tell me not to be. And I also can go to him with that. So I think some of the how, Bob, has to happen with, don't let your emotion be non-negotiable. It should align with truth. It should point me to a need that I have in Christ that can be met in Christ. And I can engage that with some courage. So I think it's actually a lot simpler than we tend to think about, because we're feeling it, so then we freak out. But I think if we simplify it to like, all right, I'm feeling something. What does this indicate about my trust or worship in Christ? Am I going to engage it or not? Or am I just out? Am I just going to bottle it and go, you know? And everybody around you knows that if you're doing that, you're still an angry person. Like, are you still just like a robot?
I mean, if you think of the goal of all of this is for our emotions. I mean, what's the definition of emotional health? Biblically, it's that our emotions are in line with truth. And if God has given us emotions for a reason, and our emotions are intended to be aligned with truth, it means that emotions should be there and we want them to be there. We want to feel sad when it is right to feel sad. We want to feel angry when it is right to feel angry. We want to feel joy when it's right to feel joy. The whole gamut of emotions are there for us to experience life, and we want them to align with what is true and what is appropriate and what is real. And so if you think about, you know, to the process, you know, any particular emotion, I mean, the question is, hey, is this the right emotion to have? Is it the right emotion just categorically? And is it the right level of emotion? And to some degree, that's a little bit hard to gauge, especially when situations are very dramatic. But there is this sense of like, I'm asking the question, is this the right emotion? And is this the right level of emotion? And if not, why? You know, to your point, why is it off kilter? What is creating that sense of off kilter? And that's the process.
So by Chris, hold on though.
Okay.
Many of the emotions I feel aren't the right emotion. So what do I do with that? Because you just said my question should be like, is what I'm feeling the right emotion? Okay, no, it's not. Now what?
Okay, so then I think the next question is why? Why is it that it's not?
I don't know, because I'm a sinner. I get mad about stuff I shouldn't get mad about.
Well, so you get mad at stuff you shouldn't get mad at, okay? Why do you get mad at, give me an example of something you're mad at.
I'm mad at you right now for making me talk about it. No, I'm kidding.
It's Dusty's fault to talk about this, but why? I mean, if that were the case, you're having to talk about something you don't want to talk about, like you ask the question, why are you mad about it? What is underneath that anger that we're going to say isn't appropriate anger? What's underneath that? Is it a level of frustration based on, you know, the person you're having the conversation with? Is it story? Is it, you are just kind of, you're kind of callous and you're kind of a jerk and you need, you know, like. So there's these questions, you know, to what Dusty was bringing up, is some of this is story form. Some of this is things that we have just been, our things in our past, whatever, have formed us in a particular way. Some of this is sin and selfishness and pride. There could be a whole host of reasons, and we have to understand what those things are if we're going to acknowledge them. We have to be honest about them. If I don't, you know, we talk about self-awareness on this podcast a lot. Like, what is someone who is self-aware of what's going on in their own soul? That's an important thing. And so we're asking those questions in order to find a level of self-awareness so that we can address what's underneath it. Because wouldn't you, with anything, any issue where you see somebody is immature, spiritually immature, emotionally immature, whatever, aren't you going to start with, hey, there is this problem, there's this pain point, there's a sin issue, whatever it is. You're going to ask the question, hey, why is this present? What's going on there?
Sure. But I'm just trying to interrogate a little bit, because I feel like you're using a lot of words to talk about emotion. But the category you said was like emotional maturity is my emotions are in line with truth.
Yes.
So I just think like, okay, well, I'm emotionally immature a lot of the time because my emotions aren't what's in line with truth. So like, I think my concern is you're giving people a picture of health that it's like, well, if that's what health is, I'm falling short of it. So now what? You know what I'm saying? And I want to know like, don't just give me the picture of what health is. Give me the answer of like, so what do I do when I know, my emotions aren't in line with truth?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Step one is to understand why they're not.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe it's like step one, just why aren't they in line with truth?
Okay.
What if I said this? if the Spirit of God is living in you, then there aren't wrong emotions. There's a overemphasized emotion towards a negative way, but it's actually a good thing gone wrong.
Okay, sure.
Or it's regulated and it's healthy. And so I think when I'm feeling it, if it's a good emotion, I start from the premise of like, all right, the Lord gave it to me. And now it's in a, I'm feeling it in a very highly disproportioned way. Why is that? Why is that a theme? And what do I need to be doing about that? I think that helps me think about it versus like right, wrong. It's more like, no, this is good. This was actually good. I'm a sinner. So it's redeemed. It's redeemed good, but it's dysregulated.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm just trying to ferret out the question of, to go back to emotion under the Lordship of Christ. Mm-hmm. How does the fall affect our emotions? Because what I would take away from what you just said is it only affects the level of them. Emotion itself is just good. It's just if it's dysregulated. And maybe you're right. I'm just trying to sort of analyze that.
Yeah.
And say,
yeah.
But I think you can feel sinful emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was.
Sure.
Your framing of that was interesting. I was like, maybe.
I think I could feel anger in a good way or anger in an unrighteous way.
But the emotion of anger itself isn't.
But I would say like anger's not necessarily bad.
Yeah.
No. I got you. Yeah. But there are times, I mean, so.
Which is why it's important to ask, why am I angry or why am I feeling this?
Yeah.
Because that's what gets me to the layer of, is this righteous, unrighteous, commensurate with or uncommensurate with the situation?
Yeah. Because there may be a time where you get angry at something you shouldn't. It's like, why am I angry at that? That should not have, you know, something with your kids can provoke anger. And you could look at that and go, hey, your kid wasn't being rebellious. Your kid, you know, so last week was standing in line at Disney World behind this with Mindy, with behind this family. And you know, you stand in line long enough, it gets a little frustrating, but
I'm feeling all sorts of stuff right now.
Yeah. That's a whole other story. I just opened a can of worms there. Right. And watching this, this dad interact with his two kids and just angry, like just outright angry. And the kids weren't even being annoying. They weren't being rebellious, but every little thing that the kid did, it was, there's just like, I'm going to hit you if you keep doing that. You're like, yo. And so that is like, hey, that's just straight up, like, that's just the wrong emotion to be feeling.
Yeah.
Or people who face something that is sad and they don't actually feel sad about it. Like there are times where the inappropriate emotion is there, mm-hmm. or the lack of emotion is there, not just dysregulated, like it's too much or too little. It's sometimes it's just the flat out wrong emotion.
Yeah.
So why is it? That's where, I mean, in most pastoral counseling situations, I'm asking that question. Why is it this versus something else? And trying to understand where that comes from as far as experiences, formation, sin, unbelief, immaturity in the sense of like, I've just never been taught any differently.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a hypothetical. Let's take a person who lacks the capacity to feel as they ought. They're mm-hmm. emotional. They're emotionally shut down or disconnected or, you know, pulled back. What's the vision for them of the direction we want them to move in, or that Christ wants them to move in, or that the scriptures want them to move in? What if I know, listening to this podcast, all right, I'm emotionally
stunted
yeah. or yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know I need to grow there. What's the journey?
So the vision that I think I would want to first hold out is go back to the sense of, hey, emotions are good things. Like these are God-given things that are for the purpose of experiencing life, as you pointed out earlier, Dusty, with other people. So the depth of relationship with people, the depth of relationship with the Lord, and that we are experiencing the world truthfully, that we are experiencing what really is, and that part of what God has called us to as his image bearers and as those who are disciples of Jesus is that we would conform our lives to what is real and what is true, what is his truth. So there's this good that emotions bring, relational. the Lord and with other people, but also just in the sense of being a faithful disciple of Jesus, living in our world, to take the gospel to the world, to be on mission, to make disciples, to love and serve other people, care for other people, like all that the Lord, you know, love God, love others, that requires an emotional connection. It requires an emotional attuneness to what is real and what is true. So I want to hold out the good of what emotions are intended to be. You think of, hey, think of the, you know, this person who's emotionally stunned, go, you know, think of the relationships you have. Who's the person that you would say you love the most, you're closest to? Can you imagine living life with them where there's a freedom, where you're actually feeling deeply a joy, a love, a care, pity when they're hurting?
You know, but you're only talking about the good emotions. You're not talking about anger, shame.
Because you cut me off.
Oh, sorry.
But there's the positive side of it. But there is also the reality of that we live in a fallen, broken world. And this is, I think this is one of the hard pieces. Why do so many men run to anger? Because, and there's a good way, there's a good sense, we should be angry about sin and evil and injustice in the world. But there's also this thing that there's a lot of sadness and there's a lot of emotions that are hard that we need to feel, but they're hard and difficult to feel. We should feel sadness about certain things. And to your point, guilt and shame. Like if I'm not properly attuned to emotions, like anybody who doesn't feel guilt and shame about sin, that's scary. That's a scary place to be. So there's this vision that I want to hold out that, you know, faithfulness to God, a fullness, a fuller life in the Lord, fuller relationship. If you're just talking about, hey, there's the vision that I'm holding out.
My answer to your question, Bob, is communion and intimacy and connection. So with a healthy emotional life, and when I feel my negative emotions like guilt or shame, that's going to help me. That's going to trigger me to not want to be in the Lord's presence. So it's going to push me towards repentance, ideally. And so that's going to deepen my union and communion with Christ. And then it also gives me the opportunity to connect here on earth as well. So I think our emotions are healthy for the most part, and we have to keep asking Christ to redeem them for the purpose of intimacy with Christ and intimacy on earth.
So when I'm sitting down with somebody who's experiencing being kind of emotional stunted, or maybe I could say for myself, the work that I've had to do, having to ask the question, you know, why is that there? But also, hey, what does it look like to actually start to feel it? And then you have to consider those situations where, hey, what are situations where you're actually having, you can sense that you are not feeling something when you should be feeling something? And then starting to, you kind of take the next step is, okay, what does it look like to actually start to feel? And that's not, I don't think that's necessarily an easy question to answer outside of a specific person. I think depending on their reasons why, you begin to kind of enter into how do you help to kind of move past that block. But there has to be this sense now, okay, let's get very concrete. You're not feeling in these particular ways. Here are the situations in which you should be feeling that. And starting to say, well, now what does it look like to enter into those situations and start to take steps forward to feeling? So you have to make these things concrete. You can't just say, hey, you should start feeling sadness in just sort of this general sense. It's like, no. Healthy emotions are situational. And so let's get into the situations that should be provoking emotions in order to take those steps.
What about just praying and asking the Lord to open up my emotional capacity?
Yes.
I mean, that should be part of it.
Please do that.
But as embodied beings, we have to act. We have to put ourselves in situations. And sometimes, I mean, this is a way, this isn't necessarily the way for every situation, but sometimes we have to act as if we're feeling it before we can feel it. And those are tough situations. If there's a sense in which, let's say I'm lacking compassion for somebody and I should be feeling it, well, what does it look like for me to act compassionately towards that person in order to start to form that emotion? If there's a sadness and a grief, that in some ways can be a little bit more difficult because you're like, what does grief look like? What does sadness look like? But what are ways that I could posture myself even with my body that may involve, you know, in a lot of ways is going to involve prayer. It's going to involve talking with the Lord, asking the Lord to open our hearts up for those things. But there has to be embodied practice. We don't just feel sitting off isolated in sort of like this Zen meditative posture. We actually have to be engaging.
I do want to say this, like Bob, even, you know, if I ask the Lord to make me more emotionally healthy, or if somebody's challenging me on like, hey, why are you feeling that? All of that takes time. Like none of that is efficient. And I think that's I just want to name that. Like one of the reasons we avoid feeling new things or feeling bad things or good things is just like, that just feels like I might get bogged down. So I'd rather not. Let me just bypass all that and keep moving, you know, keep my head down and keep trucking.
Well, it's been a pretty wide ranging conversation. I guess if we could sort of dial it into the vision or the hope for the people of God and for ourselves, it's that we would neither be people who are driven by our emotions nor people who are avoiding or managing our emotions by just, you know, applying a Bible verse to them, but that we would become people who are growing in emotional depth and emotional presence and emotional health and bringing all that under the Lordship of Christ. And that is I think the reason it's felt like sort of a wide-ranging conversation is because this is a big topic and a big area of our lives.
Yes.
And it's hard to sort of get our hands and our minds around what does it mean for us to bring the wholeness of our feeling lives under the Lordship of Christ. But I trust that some of these reflections at least point us in the direction of what does it mean for us to be people who feel fully and also who feel truly.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send us an email at podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversations.